welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
He's a right now God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. And giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. Good morning, Redeemer. Amen. I want to tell you, I was sitting there. I haven't sat there in a while. And I was sitting there going through a whole range of emotions. And one of the key emotions was that there's no way I could sit there without y'all praying for me. I am because we are. So every opportunity that I get, I need to say thank you to the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Amen. Amen. If you would meet me in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and while you're turning there, I might as well give you what I'd like to call a spiritual update, if that would be okay. I pray and I ask the Lord, what is it? What word would you have me to speak to your people? And I go into prayer and I just listen. God dropped this word in my spirit. So I say that for two reasons. One, don't give me the credit. Give God the credit. Two, if you don't like the message, don't blame me. Blame God. Amen. Amen. So let me just share with you a little bit of my struggle. God gives me this message. And I said, God, don't you know we're in the season of Advent? You know, I'm a biblical scholar. I'm married to the Christian calendar. God, you give me this text. So I'm wrestling with God, and I said, oh, by the way, it's second Sunday. No communion message? And I'm just sharing with you how God speaks to me, ministers to me. He said, David, I am bigger than your Christian calendar. I am bigger than your communion Sunday. I dare you to box me when I've got a message for my people. So I'm just trying to tell you where the credit goes, because I would have definitely came with an Advent message. But we serve a God that is real, that is radical, but most importantly, he is relevant. Amen. You ought to be at Joshua chapter 1 by now. That's the sixth book in the Bible, Old Testament. There? All right. Chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, all you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates to all of the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Be strong and courageous. because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. For the next few minutes or so, or however the Spirit allows me to preach, I really want to focus and hang my hat on verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all of these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give you. I want to preach from the topic, a church in transition. A church in transition. Now, if by some chance you don't really feel that topic, you one of those people that want one of those good theological topics, I got one for you. A God of transition. All right. Now, you might be one of those type of people that are really into catchy, hip, you know, topics that just catch you. I got one for you too. In position for transition. However, God moves you this morning. Let us pray. God, I need you. I need you to walk with me, Lord. I need you to hold my hand. God, I need you to speak through me. I need you to anoint me on fresh. I need, God, that the people would hear from you and not from me. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. God, I pray, I know where you're going with this message, but I pray you allow me to be able to work in such a manner that the people would be able to go along with me and that we would hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This word, transition, it's defined as the process in which something changes from one state to another state. The hymn writer reminds us that time is filled with swift transition. In other words, the hymnologist is saying that all of life is full of transition. Amen, somebody. Now, whether we're changing jobs, getting married, receiving promotions, starting a new business, going to dealing with terminal illness, or even joining a new church, we all, from the pulpit to the door, at one time or another, we all have to deal with transition in our lives. Now, transition, you see, whether it's good or bad, and if we keep it 100, transition is never accompanied by itself. It always brings some things with it, specifically feelings and emotions. For transition is always is accompanied with a feeling such as anxiety, sleepless nights, loss of appetite, a nagging tension, that feeling of apprehension, and transition brings with it times where we can find ourselves being indecisive. And of course, there's that always uncomfortable feeling that we have during transition, that feeling of fear. Now hear me, church. We can never allow fear to cause us to hesitate, procrastinate, or even stagnate when it's God's time for us to transition. For we serve a God of transition. And I know that's right. For the Bible says that Abraham transitioned from being in his country and his father's house to a land that the Lord would show him. Moses transitioned from being an escaped murderer to being the legendary leader that is known for telling big bad Pharaoh, "Let my people go." David has transitioned from being just a ruddy shepherd boy to being the greatest king of all of Israel. The Apostle Paul has transitioned from being a persecutor of the church, tearing down churches, to becoming a master builder and a superior church planner. All of us may learn in our lives that wherever God wants to transition us, that it is always better than where we are. God wants to take us to places that we've never seen before in our season of transition. God wants us to be willing to let go of the familiar and be willing to embrace the unfamiliar. You see, God wants to take us to somewhere new. For many of us, transition that God wants today is just a transition in our minds to be able to see things like we've never seen them before. Tell your neighbor, get ready for a transition. Now, if you know something about our God being a God of transition, you ought to make some Holy Ghost noise. That's only if you know something about our God being a God of transition. For our God will transition your pain to praise. He'll transition your sadness to shouting. He'll transition your burdens to blessings. He'll transition your tears to triumphs. He'll transition your hurt to hallelujah, your stumbling blocks to stepping stones, your obstacles to opportunities, your darkness to light. And he will even transition you from a sinner to a saint. I know I'm right about it. Truth be told, many of the churches today are in need of transition. Churches need to be transitioned from being asleep to being awoke in this vast political climate. Churches need to be transitioned from being lukewarm to being on fire for the Lord. Churches need to be transitioned from just having meetings to doing ministry. Churches need to transition from being just mechanical and allowing the Spirit to have its way. Churches need to be transitioned from just surviving to thriving. Churches need to be transitioned from being centers of entertainment to being centers of evangelism. Churches need to be transitioned from spreading gossip to spreading the gospel. Churches need to be transitioned from being clubhouses to being lighthouses. Let me hurry. I got to get to the text. I got to do my exegetical due diligence. What I love about the text is the text, in essence, is a text of transition. Can I go deeper? There's a transition that's taking place from Moses to Joshua. Can I go deeper? Moses symbolizes the first five books of the Bible, which symbolizes the law. There's a transition that has taken place from the law to grace. You see, when the transition from Moses to Joshua, Joshua's name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is the same as Jesus. So really, we have a position or a picture of being transitioned from grace, from law to grace. Yeah. But here we are in our text. And what we see in our text is that the First Baptist Church of the Wilderness, most scholars say there were about 600,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And here we see in our text that the church is experiencing transition. The people, or shall I say the church, is getting ready for transition. They're getting ready to transition from the wilderness to the promised land. Notice, if you will, the text says, you and these people. In other words, the text is saying, Joshua and the Israelites, the leaders and the congregation, the pulpit and the people. When you put it all together, it means the church. The text is saying, church, get ready to cross the Jordan. God is saying today to Redeemer, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's important to realize that these people, they had 40 years, long, painful, frustrating years of going in circles. They had 40 years when the menu was just manna and quail. They had 40 years when they wandered in the dark and dusty desert. 40 years they were in search of the promised land. The Bible says that an 11-day journey took them 40 years. And now we find the church on the verge of transitioning from the wilderness to the promised land. Now, I don't know what your situation is this morning, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, but I stopped by to tell somebody that we are on the verge of transitioning from whatever our situation is to the promised land that God has for us. You see, what I love about the Bible is the divine, godly instructions that it contains. And Redeemer, we can learn a lot from it. The instructions that God gives Joshua about a church that's in transition. Notice if you will, in verses 6, 7, and 9, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, you know Joshua. Joshua has been introduced to us over 27 times before we get to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, text tells you that Joshua was Moses' aide. In other words, Joshua was, most accounts, if I could use my imagination, Joshua was the youth pastor in the church. Joshua sat on the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. Joshua learned from Moses. Not only was Joshua the youth pastor, but Joshua was a man of faith. For in the book of Numbers, it talks about how Moses sent out 12 spies to look at the promised land. And only two brought back a good report. 10 said, we can't do it. The giants are too big. But Joshua and Caleb, being men of faith, were able to look through the lens of God. And they said, we can take the land. Joshua was a man of faith. Not only was Joshua a man of faith, Joshua was a mighty warrior. For in Exodus, we are told about the battle with the Amalekites, where Moses was on the hill, and when he raised his hands, Joshua and them, when he lowered his hands, they would lose the battle. Joshua, mighty warrior. Joshua, this man is known for making a positive, declarative statement that many of you have hung up in your kitchen. Yes, you do. Joshua is known for saying, as for me in my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Yes. If I could use my spiritual imagination, I believe that Joshua was the perfect protoplasma of a man. I mean, he was 6'3". He had muscles on top of muscles. He had the intellect to match his physique. Joshua was the type of guy that would be on the cover of the Palestine Who's Who's magazine. All I'm trying to tell you, Joshua was a bad man. Text raises this question. So why does God tell this man, Joshua, three times in one chapter to be strong and courageous? Why, during the church's transition, is God telling this mighty warrior, be strong and be courageous? Y'all ask some good questions. Let me give you three reasons God tells Joshua, and what God is telling Redeemer today in our season of transition about being strong and being courageous. The overall answer is God can see what we can't see. Now, let me unpack that for you. Can I unpack that for you? First and more specifically, God can see what's inside of each one of us. See, the Bible says man looks on the outside, and man sees this awesome warrior, this intelligent leader. But our God looks on the inside. And God sees that Joshua is feeling inadequate, incapable, and ill-equipped for the task. You know, it's one thing to be the assistant, but it's something totally different to be the leader. Now, can you imagine, right, being the pastor of over 600,000 black folk? Not only that, but being charged with the task of leading these stiff-necked folk to the promised land. I just want to paint the picture that Joshua didn't think that he had the characteristics or the attributes for the job. So here we are with this young leader, Joshua. He's about to take over leadership from the old experienced leader, Moses. Here he's the one that God selected to lead the pastor, the people, to the promised land. It is only natural in Joshua's humanity to have that degree of humility. Some may say that level of fear. Therefore, God says to him the first time, be strong and be courageous. See, this word, courageous, it means the ability to do something that frightens one. In other words, it's the ability to move on beyond one's fear. Now, if you don't hear me say anything else today, please hear this. Fear will sometimes crop in when we focus on the task and not focus on our God. No matter the task, always focus on our God. For our God sees and he knows what's inside of us. Over and over in Scripture, we're told that God not only sees, but God knows our hearts. I love how the psalmist writes it. He says, oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts when they are far. Thou encompasses my path and my lying down. Thou is acquainted with all of my ways. God can see what's inside of us. Got to hurry. Communion today. Second, not only can God see what's inside of us, but God can see what's ahead of us. Our physical sight is what many call linear, meaning we can only see the current time and the current space we occupy. In other words, you and I, all we can see is today. None of us can see tomorrow. But God's sight is eternal, meaning that God can see the beginning from the end. God can look down the corridors of time and see the end of time. Our God has what they call pre vision. Pre means before. Vision means to see. Our God can see things before they happen. So here we are in chapter 1 of Joshua. Our God can look down and see chapter 6 and chapter 7 of our lives. And because God has prevision, God will also make provision for whatever we need when we need it. So God tells him a second time, he says, be strong and courageous, simply by saying, trust me. Redeemer, just trust me. I've already worked it out. He said, when you get to chapter 6, and the battle of Jericho, God said, I just need you to trust me. He said, because I'm going to give you some strange instructions. Listen, I know you're a man of battle, but I want you to put your sword down. And I want you just to march around the walls one time for the first 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to march around seven times. Then I want you to have the priest blow the trumpet. Have the people make a loud shout. And watch the walls come coming down. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. But our God knows all things. Redeemer, we can be strong and be courageous by putting our trust in God. Whew. Got work in me today. Let me hurry. Not only can God see what's inside of us, not only can God see what's ahead of us, but God can see us in the promised land. Yeah, that's the good news. of the text. I might need to say it again because nobody shouted. God can see me and see you in our promised land. Yeah. Just as the children of Israel are, so is the church of the Redeemer. We are in position for transition. The text says, get ready to cross the Jordan. Here we have the people in position for transition. Redeemer, do you not know we are on the verge of transitioning from where we are to where God wants us to be? Notice, if you will, who's speaking in the text. For it's God who is speaking, and it is God who is saying, get ready to cross the Jordan River. God is speaking in the form of revelation knowledge to Joshua. You see, our God sees us in the promised land. God is speaking what's known as subjective revelation, meaning it hasn't happened yet. You see, God says something to us that we can't put our hand on, that we can't see at the moment, but it's in the realm of the invisible. That's subjective. In the subjective, God is revealing that he sees us in the promised land. Yeah. But here are the people, and they're in objective realization, meaning they're focusing on where they are. They are dealing with what's happening right now. The people in their objective realization are standing on the edge of the muddy Jordan River. They're standing on the edge. And according to most biblical scholars, it's during flood season, which means that the water is higher than it normally would be. And the people in their objective realization, the people say, we have no boats. How are we going to cross? But God, in his subjective realization, said, get ready, get ready, get ready. For when God says something in the subjective, that something happens in the universe. For God's word cannot come back void. What God said he will do will happen. So in the subjective, God said, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. In the objective, they're standing on the edge and they can't see how they're going to cross. God said, get ready. Somehow, the people must have forgot that our God is a bridge over troubled water. Somehow, they must have forgotten the Red Sea experience, that our God will make a way out of no way. So here we are, the subjective and the objective. What I love about it is, as believers, and we know who God is, when God says something in the subjective, by being a believer in my faith, even though I'm in the objective, I can start to shout, I can start to praise him, even though it hasn't happened yet, because God is not a man that he would lie. The Bible tells us to count those things as though they are. So God says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready to cross to Jordan. What I love about him is that the Bible says in 3 days, they're getting ready to cross. In 3 days, the subjective will meet the objective, meaning it will happen. In 3 days, God tells him, gather all the people, get the priests, get all the tribes, line them up. And in 3 days, get ready, get ready, get ready. Bible says they started to line up and begin to march. And they got to the Jordan. Bible said that the priest stuck his foot in the water. The water got happy and the water rolled back. The priest stuck his foot and the subjective became the objective. And the people marched over into the promised land. Yes, God said it, and I believe it. Get ready, Redeemer, get ready. Yes, you see, when God says something to us, in the subjective, in our faith, we can see the subjective become an objective. And it's in our faith that I can begin to shout. I can begin to praise him. I can begin to walk around because I know that the objective is on the way. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Amen. As we stand on our feet, amen. If you're new and you don't understand really what's happening, is when God says something to us in the subjective, we know because of who God is that the universe will line up. And in the earthly realm, it has to break forth. It has to come true. And that will cause us to begin to shout and to begin to praise our God. And individuals who don't understand what's going on may think that we're crazy. But I've got to tell you, we don't need nobody to understand. We don't need nobody to interpret it. If God said it, I believe it. Yeah. So if you're here today and you're struggling in the objective realm, come on over to the God that works in the subjective as well as the objective. There may be one among us that does not know Jesus in the parting of your sins. Amen. 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 Welcome, my sister. God bless you. Amen. She has made it easy for the next individual. Tomorrow is not promised to us. All we have is today. So if you want to change your eternal destination, now is the time. They used to say, give the preacher your hand, but give God your heart. Is there one amongst us that wants to give Jesus your all in all? Is there one? Is there one? There's only one person that knows what we're going through. There's only one person that can do something about everything that we're going through. And we just want to introduce you to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Is there one among us?
I believe the storm will soon be over. I believe the rain